Well, I'd like to begin this morning just most of you, if not all of you, are familiar with a man named Benjamin Franklin. Now, we have some foreign students here that may not know that name, but Benjamin Franklin was one of the founding fathers of our nation. He was a statesman and an inventor, and he was known for his wit and his wisdom. And many of the statements of his have been handed down to us and are quoted even today. For instance, early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. That's Ben Franklin. Here's another one. Our new Constitution has now been established. Everything seems to promise it will be durable. But in this world, nothing is certain except death and taxes. That's Benjamin Franklin. I like this one. Visitors and fish have this in common. They both stink after 3 days. Benjamin Franklin. One thing you may not know about Ben Franklin is that he was a great correspondent and received many letters from famous people around the world. One day, he received what could have been the most important letter to ever come across his desk. It was a letter from the well-known British preacher, George Whitefield. And in that letter, Whitefield wrote, "I find that you grow more and more famous in the learned world. As you have made such progress in investigating the mysteries of electricity, I humbly urge you to give diligent heed to the mystery of the new birth. It is a most important and interesting study, and when mastered, will richly repay you for your pains." Whitefield wrote to Franklin and said, "You need to study the new birth. The new birth. This is an important study," he said. "You need to study the new birth." And so I invite you this morning, that's what we're going to do. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, in which the key topic in the first half of that chapter is the new birth. Or what we call what? Being born again. Being born again. Now, what is being born again? What we're talking about, being saved. We're talking about knowing, listen, where you are. Because we're talking about the new birth, being born again. About knowing, listen, when you die, where you're going to go. Whether to heaven or to hell. Is this important? I think it is important. In fact, it's not only an important subject, it is the important subject. And it will give us, as Whitefield said, it will give us, if we master it, if we know what this says, it will richly repay us here today, and it'll richly repay us throughout eternity. This morning, I want to examine with you three truths about the new birth in verses 1 through 8. I call them the three M's of the new birth. But before we do, I want to pray. Okay? So let's pray. Lord, and why don't you just quiet your hearts? Would you ask the Lord to speak to you today? Would you humble yourself and ask the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart today? Pray for the person beside you, or the persons beside you.
Lord, we have the awesome privilege of opening up your eternal word, the Bible. And Lord, we know that your word is true. Your word tells us eternal truths, eternal things. But God, we cannot understand this book unless you, Holy Spirit, will make it come alive and speak to our hearts. So my prayer today, Lord, help us to hear your voice. Not the voice of this preacher, but your voice. Speak to us, God. Help us to receive your word into our hearts and believe it. And God, change our lives. Change our lives to the glory of God. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. 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 The three truths about the new birth, about being born again. The three M's. The first on your outline, the must of the new birth. The must of the new birth. The background to this, John 3. If you look at verse 1, it says, now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This is a story about a man who came to Jesus. It says, there was a man. This is not a parable. This is not a fable. This is a true story. He was a Pharisee. And his name was Nicodemus. His name means victor over the people or ruler over the people. He was a ruler of the Jews. He was a member of what was called the Sanhedrin, which was the highest religious body among the Jews. This man was impressed by the miracles and signs of Jesus. Verse 2 says, this man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. He had been impressed. He had heard about these signs that Jesus was doing. And he came to Jesus. And Jesus, in verse 3, cuts through the red tape. He cuts through the extraneous chit-chat. And he says to him, Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Truly, truly. Some of your versions say, verily, verily. Means amen, amen. When Jesus was going to say something important, many times put that those words in front of what he said. Truly, truly. I say to you, unless you're born again, you're not going to see the kingdom of God. He repeats that same thought in verse 5 and verse 7. Look at verse 5. Jesus answered, truly, truly, verily, verily, amen, amen. I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Not only are you not going to see it, you're not going to get in it. And then down in verse 7, do not be amazed. Marvel not at this, that I say to you, you must be born again. You must be born again. This is the must of the new birth. Now, this becomes a little clearer when we take a deeper look at this man, Nicodemus. What do we know about him? Four things I want to share with you that make this clear. Number one, he was very religious. Very religious. He was a Pharisee. Now, there were bad Pharisees, there were hypocrites, there were good Pharisees. He was religious. In our day, he would be a man who went to church all the time. He would be a man that prayed religiously. He would be a man that underwent all the religious rites. He was a religious leader, the scripture says. This would be kind of like a pastor or a priest. This guy was religious. This guy, he said to Jesus, he came to you, I came to you, Jesus. And Jesus said to this man who is very religious, you must be born again. You know what that tells us, folks? Religion doesn't save anybody. You can go to church, and some of them maybe are here today. You've gone to church all your life. Not miss a Sunday. Be a religious person. And yet, not be saved. Not be saved. You can go to church all your life and be lost. I put it this way. You know what? You can go to 100 weddings and not be married. You don't get married by going to weddings. You get married by making a commitment to a person. To this religious man, he said, you must be born again. Second thing we know about him, not only was he very religious, he was very knowledgeable. The Pharisees, get this, they memorized vast portions of Scripture. Do you know there were Pharisees that memorized the first 5 books of the Bible, the Torah? Anybody here memorized the first 5 books? Oh, yeah, come on, William, you haven't memorized all 5. Yeah. You know what? They would memorize vast portions of Scripture. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, which was the highest authority on the interpretation of the Mosaic Law. He was a teacher. In fact, look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, Jesus said to him, are you the teacher of Israel? And you do not understand these things? Not only was he a teacher, he was the teacher. This guy, listen, he could spit Scripture. He was, I would say, a walking biblical encyclopedia. But Bible knowledge, knowing Bible facts, knowing theology, doesn't save you. Doesn't save you. To this man, Jesus looked at him. He could spit Scripture. He said, you must be born again. You must. Third thing we know about him. He was a very moral man. Very moral man. He had to be in the Sanhedrin. The title Pharisee. You know what the title Pharisee comes from? The Hebrew? Righteous. Righteous. Remember the Apostle Paul said that he was a Pharisee. Apostle Paul had been a Pharisee. And he said as to his being a Pharisee, he said, as to the righteousness which comes in the law, I was found blameless. But being a moral man or a moral woman, I'm going to try to live good. I'm going to try to keep the 10 commandments. I'm going to be a moral person. Doesn't save you. Why? Because we could never be good enough. If you're going to try to get to heaven by being good enough, there's just one standard: perfection. And you may raise your hand if there's any perfect people here. If you do, you're a liar. Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're all in the same boat. We can't be good enough. Guess what's not in heaven? Sin. And sin's not going to be in heaven. And being moral doesn't save you. To this moral man, Jesus said what? You must be born again. One more thing we know about him. We know that, I believe we can assume, but I think we know that he did good works. Why do I think that? I think we can infer this from the fact that he was highly regarded. He had done good things that had gained him an audience for his teaching. But all the good works in the world can't save you. By works of righteousness shall no flesh be justified in my sight, says the Lord. Wow. If you'd think anybody could have been saved, it'd been Nicodemus. He was religious. He was knowledgeable. He was moral. He did good things. But I'll tell you, being all that stuff won't get you to heaven. You must be born again. Marvel not at this, Jesus said. You must be born again. Is God speaking to anyone here? Again, you may have been a church member for a long, long time. But unless you're born again, guess what? You're not going to heaven. You're not going. You won't see it. Jesus said you won't enter it unless you're born again. That's the must of the new birth. Now look with me secondly at the means of the new birth. How do you get born again? How do you get born again? You see, this brings us to Nicodemus' question in verse 4. Look at verse 4. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? How can he be born when he's old? He can't enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born, can he? What are you talking about, Jesus? Being born again. I'm old. How can Pastor Les? I'm old. I turned 40 last year. How can I be born again? I crawl up in my mother's womb and be born a second time? How's this happen? And look what Jesus says in verse 5. He tells them. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to be born of water? Well, let me tell you what it does not mean. Because some, I think, get this wrong. It does not mean Christian baptism. This is important. How do we know it doesn't mean Christian baptism? Well, first of all, Christian baptism wasn't instituted for another 3 years at Pentecost. That's when we get Christian baptism. And Jesus told Nicodemus, you should know these things. And if it was referring to Christian baptism, there's no way he could have known these things. And if it's Christian baptism, guess what? All the Old Testament believers won't get to heaven because they didn't get baptized. If it's Christian baptism, guess what? The thief on the cross didn't go to heaven because the thief on the cross was never baptized, and yet Jesus said, today you're going to be with me in paradise. So it does not mean Christian baptism. What does it mean? Well, there are several possibilities to what this could be referring to. And let me just give you three possibilities. Water could be referring to John's baptism. You remember Pastor Jeremy over in chapter 1 in verse 26, he talked about John the Baptist, said, I baptize with water. But his baptism was a baptism of what? Repentance. Repentance. And some think that when it says you've got to be born of the water, it's speaking of repentance. And certainly, repentance is part of the salvation experience, isn't it? Isaiah 53:6 says this. Listen, it's to all of us. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned to our own way. And we're going in our own way. That's everybody. Everybody goes in their own way. But to be saved, to be born again, guess what we have to do? We have to turn and go God's way. That's repentance. Repentance is a change of mind, which leads to a change of heart, which leads to a change, listen, in direction. And we're to preach repentance. Turn to Christ and believe in Him. Some think that this, we be born of the water, refers to repentance. There's another possibility that water here refers to the Word of God. You know, we're told in Ephesians 5 that we are to be washed by the water of the Word. Other scriptures teach that the new birth comes through the Word of God. The Word of God. You can put this down. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says this. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. You see, God uses the Word in our salvation experience, doesn't He? Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. That's how faith is engendered in the life, through the Word of God. In James chapter 1 and in verse 18, he says, He begat us with the Word of truth. He begat us with the Word of truth. You see, listen, just as in every physical birth, there's two parents. In the spiritual birth, there's two parents. The Word of God unites with the Spirit of God, and babies are born into the family of God. So the Spirit uses the Word to birth us. The Word and the Spirit come together. So some think that the water is referring to the Word of God. A third possibility is that the water is reference to natural birth. You've got to be born of the water and of the Spirit. And that interpretation, by the way, I think best fits into the context because of verses 4 and 6. You remember in verse 4, Nicodemus says, how can I be born again? I can't crawl up into my mother's womb and be born a second time. He was talking about what? Physical birth. And Jesus said, listen, you've got to be born of the water, but you also have to be born of the Spirit. You've got to be born naturally, but I'll tell you what, if you're going to go to heaven, you've got to be born supernaturally. And in case you didn't get it, verse 6 says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not at this. You must be born again. You see, somebody said this, listen. Born once, you're going to die twice. You're going to die a physical death. And then when you go before the Lord, you're going to die the second death. And that's in Revelation chapter 20. And that's being put into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Born once, die twice. Listen, born twice, die once. You're born physically, and if you're born again, yes, will we die? If the Lord tarries, we're going to die. But you know what? We just go be with him. And we don't have to fear that. We don't have to be afraid of that. I can't wait to go be with my Jesus. So all three of those possibilities, repentance, the water of the word, and the natural birth, they all fit. But we come to he says you have to be born of the water and of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit. What's that mean? There's no doubt what that means. The one who brings about the new birth is the Holy Spirit of God, the third person of the Trinity. You see, it's the Holy Spirit that awakens our understanding. It's the Holy Spirit that convicts us of sin and even our need to be saved. You talk to people today, you need to be saved. Saved from what? Saved from sin. Because the Bible says we are all sinners. And that's an offense against God. You see, people are walking in the world and they think, I'm a good person. I try to be nice, and you're a sinner. And the Holy Spirit has to work and show you that. Show me that. We're all in the same boat. If the Lord would mark iniquity, who could stand? Who could stand? And the Holy Spirit comes and says, you know what? You need to get saved. You need forgiveness. You need eternal life. And he works that, and he convinces us of our need for forgiveness. He is the one who grants us grace to repent and faith to believe. He reveals to us in God's word that Jesus, listen, he died for our sins. That's how we can go to heaven, right there. Because he paid for our sins on the cross. And when we place our faith in him, he forgives us our sins and gives us his righteousness. Praise God. And the Holy Spirit speaks to a person. And it is then the Spirit that gives life. That's who gives life. And I'm not going to go into this. I could go into it. Yeah. Maybe I will go into it. We got plenty of time. Game doesn't start till way late, and no big deal. I think a good example of this is in the Old Testament. It's in Ezekiel chapter 37. And that chapter talks about the vision that God gave Ezekiel. Can you imagine this? He took Ezekiel and he took him and he showed him a valley of dried bones, bleached bones, scattered bones all over this valley. Can you imagine? All these bones. What do you see? Valley of bleached bones. And then you know what God said? Can these bones live? Can they live? And he said, you know, Lord, I don't know. And what did he tell him to do? Speak to the bones. Prophesy to the bones. And he spoke the word of God to the bones. And you know what happened? A rattling took place. And can you imagine this? All these bones start coming together into skeletons. And he's watching this, and there's all these skeletons starting to come together. Then he watches, and flesh comes on them. And skin comes on them. And there they are, and they're coming all together. And I mean, you'd be freaked out, man. I'd be freaked out. I mean, whoa! And so what he's looking at now is a bunch of lifeless bodies. Lifeless bodies. And so God speaks to Ezekiel again and says, Son of man, call the wind. Call the wind. Call the wind. Call the wind to come and blow on those bodies. And so he prophesies to the wind. He says, wind, come, blow on the bodies. And when the wind blew on the bodies, they got up and they became a great army. You see, the word of God and the Spirit of God brought life to dead, dry, bleached bones. And that's what happens when people get saved. Because the Bible says, you know what the Bible says? We're dead in our trespasses and sins. They're dead. And unless God works that, we'll remain dead. And he uses the word, and he uses the Spirit of God. The means of the new birth. The must of the new birth, you must be born again. The means of the new birth, the Spirit of God comes together with the Word of God, and babies are born into the family of God. Number three, the third M, the third truth of the new birth, the mystery of the new birth. Verse 8, the mystery of the new birth. Listen to this. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Do you hear that? See, this verse compares the working of the Holy Spirit in the new birth to what? Wind. Wind. It's interesting. Listen to this. Put this down. This is good. This is good. In the Hebrew and in the Greek, the word translated spirit is also translated wind or breath. Did you know that? Wind or breath. The Hebrew rock. Greek pneuma. Spirit, wind, breath. He says, you know what? It's being born again is like the wind. How? How is working of the Spirit in new birth like wind? First of all, number one, wind is unpredictable. Unpredictable. You know, every time I read this verse, I think of the nightly news weather forecast. You know, meteorologists, great occupation to have, a meteorologist. At what other occupation can you be right maybe 50% of the time and you're thought to be really good? How would you like to go to a doctor that was right 50% of the time? How would you like to come to a church where the pastors preach 50% truth? I wouldn't go to that church. And yet, weather forecasters can get up and... Well, I got to tell you, man, something fell. Yep. I'll tell you, when we were out, we just took a trip to Mount Rushmore. Drove out to Rapid City. Drove over 3,200 miles. Boy, is it nice to be home. But we got out to Rapid City, and we got to our hotel, turned on the television, wanted to find out what the weather was going to be like. Guess what? Every day it's going to rain. It's going to rain, 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 rain. And it's all over. Rain, terrible. Linda and I talked about it. I said, you know what? Hey, we're here. We're going to Mount Rushmore. We're going to Crazy Horse. We're going to do it. If we have to be in the rain, that's okay. Guess how many days it rained? Thank you, Jesus. Now I've got to be honest. It did rain one day for about 10 minutes. So they were right. But this just, you know what this proves? It's true. The wind blows where it wishes. We don't know where it comes from or where it's going to go. Well, Pastor Les, we've got Doppler. I don't care. The wind can be coming down like this. The wind blows where it wishes. We don't know. It's unpredictable. It's unpredictable. You see, and the new birth, listen, people, is like the blowing of the wind. The Holy, let me clarify. The Holy Spirit is not capricious or haphazard. Okay, you got it? He's not capricious, but it's mysterious. Mysterious. He touches one person and skips over another. There may be people here today that leave this church and say, oh man, God spoke to me. I mean, I heard him. He spoke to me. I felt the Spirit. And then somebody might walk out the door and say, you know, I didn't get anything out of that. Explain that to me. We can't. It's mysterious. It's like the old hymn. I like some of the old hymns. I know whom I believed. You remember that hymn? Some of you remember that. But the third verse says, I know not how the Spirit moves, convincing men of sin, revealing Jesus through the Word, creating faith within. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how he does it. It's mysterious. He's unpredictable. The Holy Spirit working in the new birth. Secondly, you can see wind. You can't see wind. But you can see the results of wind, can't you? You can't see wind, but you can see the results of wind. Can I have that picture up there? You see what those are? You know what that is? We were driving through Iowa. If you've ever driven through Iowa, flat as can be. And this is what you see. Wind turbines. Do you know how many are in Iowa? You're right, a lot. 6,000 wind turbines. Those are huge. You know, we're driving along. I couldn't see any wind. Look, is there any wind? I don't see any wind. You know what I saw? Those big blades turning. The big blades turning. See, you cannot see wind. But I'm going to tell you, you can see the results of wind. I can't see somebody being born again. But if a person is born again, I can see the results. I can see a change. There's a change. There's the results of that. You can see life signs. Life signs. But by the way, look at the person next to you. Look at the person next to you. Look. Come on, look at the person next to you. How do you know that person's alive? Now, they may look dead. They're only sleeping. Don't know that. How do you know that person's alive beside you? How do you know? Because there's life signs. They've got a pulse. They've got a heartbeat. They got brain waves. You think? They have warmth to the touch. There's life signs. How do you know if you're born again? I'll tell you what, if you're born again, there's life signs. Let me give you three. I'm going to give you three. First of all, if you are born again, you have a new appetite. A new appetite. By the way, nature determines appetite. Did you know that? That's why pigs love to eat pig slop. Birds like to eat bird seed. Right? Cats, and I got to tell you a story. My neighbor goes on vacation, and I get the privilege of watching her cats. I've never been a cat person. I am now a cat person. I have four cats. I have Boots, Phoebe, Clem, and Russell. And I get the opportunity to feed them. And you know what? In the morning, I go over about 8 o'clock, 8:30. I come to the door. I open the door. Guess who's there to greet me? They're all there. Meow, 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 meow. And then I go up. And you know what? I don't feed them birdseed. I don't feed them pig slop. I feed them what? Cat food. Because cats have the nature and they love cat food. And you know what? I go to feed them and I put their food in the bowls and I put it down and I say, please come and eat. Please, come on over here. And they're all over that food. They are. Because they're hungry. Why? Because they're living. And their nature is to love cat food. Guess what? When you are born again, you get a, what kind of nature, class? Divine nature. And what are you hungry for if you're alive in Christ? The Word of God. You love the Word. Nobody has, please read your Bibles this week. You know what? Nobody has to say, Pastor Les, please eat this week. I'll guarantee you, I'm going to eat. If you're alive, you're hungry for the Word of God. That's a life sign. You know, Jeremiah said, thy words were found and I did eat them. Job said, I long for your word more than my necessary food. His theme was no Bible, no breakfast. Oh, you know what? If you are born again, you have a new appetite. If you're born again, you have a new attitude. Second thing, you have a new attitude towards sin. You know, if a sheep falls in a mud puddle, oh man, are they uncomfortable. They'll do anything they can to get out of that mud puddle. But if a pig sees a mud puddle, he's there, man. He goes and jumps in the mud puddle. Man, he loves it. He's squealing with delight. Oh, man. Try to take him out of that mud puddle. He doesn't like it. You see? Because pigs love mud. We are God's sheep. Does that mean we never fall in the mud? We fall in the mud. But listen, we never feel comfortable in the mud. Hear me, right? We may sin, but you don't feel comfortable there. You don't feel comfortable there. You have a different, I put it this way. You know what? Before I was saved, before I was born again, I used to run after sin. I used to love sinning. I ran after it. I was in one of the most zoo fraternities at Penn State. I ran after sin. I got saved. I started running away from sin. Does that mean I'd never fall? I fall. I sin. But then you get up and you confess your sins and you keep on going with the Lord. You see, when you are truly born again, there's life signs. You have new appetite. You have a new attitude towards sin. And you have new affection. You love God. You love Jesus. You love Him. We don't love Him enough, but we love Him. And not only do we love Him, we love the church. Did you hear me on that? We love the church. We love God's people. Listen to what it says in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So here we got it. You can't see wind, but you can see the results. You can see if a person loves the Word of God. You can see if a person has a different attitude towards sin. The Bible says, whatsoever is born of God does not practice sin. And you can see a new affection. You love Jesus. And you love his people. If you say you love God and you hate his people, you're a liar. You're a liar. We see the results. Do you see those results in your life? Be honest. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. You see, the wind is unpredictable. The wind, you can't see it, but you can see the results. And then thirdly, you can't see wind, but you can listen. You can hear it and feel it. You can hear it and feel it. Do you see, again, verse 8, the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it. You hear the sound of it. How do you know, right now, today, if the Holy Spirit is working in your life? Do you hear him? Do you hear God speaking to you? Do you hear him? You can't see him. Do you hear him? Is he speaking to you? How do you know if the Spirit's working? You know, you can't see him, but you know what? You can feel him. We have some fishermen in our church. How do you know when you're out fishing? How do you know if a fish is on your line? You can't see him. I can't see him. How do you know? There's a tug. You feel him. Do you feel the Holy Spirit tugging your heart today? He tugs at the heart. You see, this, I think Nicodemus was feeling the tug. That is why he came to Jesus. And if a person has come seeking Jesus, you know what we know? The Holy Spirit's been working. But he came by night. Yes, whether by night or by day. Just that people would come to Jesus. Amen? Just that people would come to Jesus. And here he came to Jesus. He's working. He's tugging on his heart. This last week, I was speaking to a man in the church. He's sitting here in the congregation today. And I asked him, when did you come to Christ? When were you born again? He said, this is what he said to me. Pastor, about a year ago, you were preaching. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. And Pastor, I knew I had to come and pray with you. I knew I had to. This is what he said. I could not have walked out that door. I couldn't. Because the Holy Spirit was tugging at me. And I came and I prayed and I was born again. Born again. Praise the Lord. You see, today, for salvation or for something else. Maybe it's he's trying to get you closer back to him. Do you feel the tug of the Spirit? If you do, don't slip the hook. Don't break the line. Let him reel you in. Be saved. Be closer to him. Let him work in your life. Do you feel him tugging? I want to close with this. There was once another very religious man who lived in England. His name was John. He was raised in a preacher's home. At 21 years of age, he received a degree from Oxford. He went on for a master's. He spent a year and a half assisting his father in church. In 1728, he was ordained a priest in the Anglican Church. In 1729, he joined the Holy Club, which was a group of men that wanted to get closer to God. He spent time studying God's Word. He spent hours in prayer. He attended church meetings. Then in 1735, the Society for Propagating the Gospel in Foreign Parts called him to be a missionary. And he left England to sail to Georgia to minister to the Indians in Georgia. When he was coming over to this country, the ship hit a storm. And it was a bad storm. It's like the perfect storm. He thought, I'm going to die. And he said he was so fearful. I don't know what's going to happen when I die. But there was a group on that ship of Moravians. And during this storm, what were they doing? They're worshiping God, praising God, filled with joy. And this man said, how can they be like that? We could die. Well, he got to Georgia. He spent about a year or so in Georgia ministering, trying to minister to the Indians. And he returned to England in 1738. But on May 24th, 1738, he was walking on Aldersgate Street in London. And he passed a place where inside, again, Moravians were in there having a worship service. And he stopped, he went in. And he heard a man get up and read the prologue to Luther's gospel, the book of Romans. He heard him read the prologue. And he said, at that time, the Spirit of God came upon me. And I was born again. And that man is John Wesley, founder of the Methodist Church. Folks, religion can't save you. Being moral can't save you. Having all kinds of biblical degrees can't save you. Doing all the works in the world can't save you. Marvel not at this. You must be born again. Would you bow your heads? Please bow your heads. And I'm going to ask again this week, the elders, let's have the praise team come. Have the elders and the deacons, if you would come forward today. And the prayer leaders in our church, if you could come forward. And just be up in front here. And I'm going to pray. But if you would like to come and pray, if there's anything, any need in your life, any burden on your heart, if the Holy Spirit is speaking with you, if he's tugging, would you come and just meet with one of these folks and they'll pray with you. Today, if the Holy Spirit's saying to you, today, this is the day, this is the day, don't walk out the doors. Make that commitment. Lord, we just bow before you. And Lord, we just, we're totally dependent on you, Holy Spirit, to work in our lives. Again, we can't birth ourselves into the family of God. You've got to do that, Holy Spirit. And I'm praying that you would touch hearts here today. Bring people to make that commitment, to make that decision. And Lord, also, there's other people that maybe are hurting today and need just somebody to pray with them. Maybe somebody's been away from you, God, and they want to come back today. Would you tug on our hearts, Holy Spirit? Help us to make those decisions for you. And Lord, may you get all the praise and all the glory. We pray this in Jesus' name.